Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Mullet Cast, the podcast where business and pleasure collide. My name is Evan Balmer. Follow me on Instagram at Evan Balmer. Today we are joined by Waiting on Mongo. Waiting on Mongo is an award-winning funk band from Asbury Park, New Jersey. Check them out online at mongo.band and on Instagram at Waiting on Mongo. What's going on, fellas?
What's up?
How y'all doing? So, I've been like trying not to talk about it since we got here because like it is pretty funny. Is like I originally reached out to your band email address, and I guess it was Mike. That do you run that usually, or is it kind of like a free for all? Whoever gets
it's a group effort, you know.
So whoever, gets into it. I threw out the thing like, you know, we've been thinking about having a live band in the podcast studio, and really like I always aim high, so I'm like thinking like, because Ming said too, he's like, I really want to get a band in here because we've had like some acoustic guys, you know, and girls like singing, but just like mellow. And I'm like, dude, the best band to get in here would be like Waiting on Mongo. Would be sick. Like I envisioned this crazy dance party in here and stuff. And then, and so we were lining it up and you're like, yeah, the dates are cool. And then you wrote me back. You're like, oh man, I didn't realize. Are you expecting us to play?
I read the message wrong, and we're actually supposed to play.
I was like, oh, damn, man. This is all going to fall apart. And then you're like, all right, well, let me see, you know, what we can do. And I'm glad to see you rolled in with, like, a shitload of instruments. So that's pretty killer.
Yeah, I mean, I like to think we usually... No, we make it work.
All right. Yeah. You can improvise a little.
Yeah.
That's cool. All right. So the other thing I did wrong in this whole thing is like my kryptonite is like I can't remember names for shit. Like I meet someone and it's like right out of the back of my head. And now I picked the band with like six or seven members. So like the odds of me remembering everyone, I kind of got like a lot of it. I mean, I'll throw out your names so everyone knows who's here. We got a couple mics. We got two mics. We got TJ. We got Matt. We got Anders. And Johnny's here. Bruce is not here. He's got another gig somewhere.
Yes.
So who wants to tell us the story of how like Mongo all got together? I think you guys have been together for like 6 or 7 years, right? How did it all begin?
Can I kick it off?
The first iteration of the group was just the four of us. My brother Matt would play drums. TJ would come over. Mike would show up. We also had another bassist that is no longer with us, obviously. But, you know, it was just like a family band sort of thing at the beginning. We would just learn covers, you know, try and make up our own stuff. And then we finally got to the point where we played at the Norwood Inn, which is a block from my house down the street in Avon-by-the-Sea.
Right.
It's not there anymore, but... it was just the local bar, and we got up there. It was like Wednesday nights, like half the crowd wasn't even like of drinking age, but like we still like got it done somehow, without getting everybody kicked out.
Well, Mongo, you're missing the part about how we were actually waiting on you for that gig.
You
skipped over a couple of it.
I might have.
The origin story.
Feel free to chime in.
The first gig.
Mongo, so the first... You know, the first run with the band, we actually all played like different instruments than we play right now.
Right.
So I came in as a bass player. TJ was a guitar player. Mongo was a guitar player. Matt was always a drummer. But nice. So Mongo was playing guitar on his first gig. And like probably out of 35 seconds before we were supposed to start, he realized that he had forgotten a guitar pick. And had
I only live a block away from the
so he had to run
Norwood,
a block to grab a guitar pick.
Right.
And like another thing to note on that first show is we played one set of music two times through.
Did you really?
We just got to a point where we're like, oh man, we really can't fill 4 hours. So we did the same thing twice.
That's pretty sweet. And no one seemed to notice, miraculously, probably, right?
There in the beginning, probably.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So not only do I have to remember six names, now you're telling me like two different sets of instruments you've all played. So like now I'm totally out of screwed. That's classic. So where did you go from there? Like, you just keep playing regular gigs at the Norwood? And
I think we did like one or two that summer, and then like
and then
that
we was did like, PK Shamrocks, which is now with Joe's Surf Shack.
Yeah, we did a lot there because we knew the people used to own it. It was Jack Cottrell's family, and TJ's really good friends with Jack, so that was also one of the first places we played.
I would say like the biggest like the tipping point of like what put it in the direction that it is now is like when we got our first gig at the Stone Pony.
Right.
So like we did our thing as like a four piece and like we you know we were whatever we were like the kids that everybody knew that were like oh they're actually like in a band and then we got a show at the Pony and we played with Durs and John playing another band called Downstream.
Yeah.
And they were on the gig with us, and Anders just like ripped a saxophone solo and then switched over and played guitar the whole time, too. So we were like, whoa, this kid's like killer.
Right.
And then he came in, and that's, you know, we asked him to jam with us like a couple of months later, and he brought a saxophone, and that was it.
That's
that
cool.
That's what started the horns thing.
Nice. So, what was the, how'd the first Pony gig go with adding all that, you know, the horns and everything?
Well, so we didn't add him into a live show thing until a little bit later on. So, I don't know. When, so what do you think that we opened for Splintered in the summer and then we played with Durs for the first time, I think maybe the next spring?
Yeah, it was definitely like a little bit of time. Like, like TJ, because TJ, like at this point in time, like we were saying, like people were shoveling, like we were still trying to figure out what our direction was. Like we hadn't really even covered too much jam stuff at that point. Like early on, we did like a Black Keys cover, a minor thing like by the Red Eye. Yeah, we did a lot of, did a Radiohead song.
Right.
Yeah. So but we were starting to get into funkier stuff. Like we were into some electronic stuff, and Mongo got on the electric synth and all that. But we were like searching for a direction really, and then like getting Anders on board. Like once we brought him in, it was kind of like okay, like. We kind of want to be like a funky, we knew we wanted to be like a fun band to see with energy, like, because that's the bands that we like to go see. We like to go out with our friends and like see a high energy band that just brought us and everyone that night like to a level, you know, like, so that's what we wanted to do. And do we even have Andre? Oh, we were at Modown. And that's like when we solidified what we wanted to do. This is also going back before Andre, before we even... That was in December. This was like in August, like the end of a festival season, the end of the summer. And we all went to Modan. We had like this
2013.
Yeah, it was like this. We had a great time all weekend. We saw this other younger band, Aqueous, and they were doing it, and they've since blown up. But we were like, oh my God, like this is all. Imagine if we could do it, get on a festival and just play music. And like we had like a great weekend, obviously. And
yeah, that's definitely what set us like out into the jams.
Exactly. Yeah, like I said, then we were starting to get like you said, we wanted to like
get into Mo, Humphreys McGee,
Groovier, like all that. We all listen to that stuff, kind of. Like, yeah, we can do that.
That's cool.
And then we got Anders in there.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got, from plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
And then it was like, we're definitely,
So having that like jam, like background, how do you rehearse that type of stuff? How often are you guys playing together? Because a lot of it's like feel, right? Getting to know each other and just repetition of.
Yeah.
We put a lot of gigs together.
Yeah. I mean, that's really what it was, is that for like the past, like up until like recently, for the past, 3 years?
Yeah.
We all lived in a house together.
Right.
Which was one thing. We definitely got to know each other. Living in a, you know, in a house with everybody. But we rehearse at least once a week, and we kind of have our own little workflow. I mean, like, we get in the room and usually some kind of improv jam breaks out, and then that kind of gets everybody warmed up, and then we just kind of go through and go over certain stuff, aspects of our songs and stuff like that.
Right.
We're in a very like a big trying to expand our original songs list right now. So that's usually what we're doing.
That's cool. So the house you lived in, could you guys rehearse there also?
Yeah, that was cool. That was the cool thing about it.
Right.
Yeah, it's out on a farm in Farmingdale. These guys still live there.
It's still the spot. You know, and it's like no one's going to question you at 4 a.m. if you're going off.
Right.
So it was the spot.
The first night they even unlocked the place for us when we signed the lease, we went in there. I think it was just the four of us went in, not even any furniture in the place or anything. We lugged our amps in and
we had a wedding that weekend.
Yeah, we were playing like somebody's engagement party like the next night or something. And we rehearsed in that house with nothing in it until like 5 a.m.
Right.
The first night we were there.
That's
and
cool.
Nobody ever said anything and nobody's said anything since.
And have you done shows out there? Like have people come out?
We've to call them shows would be a bit of a stretch.
Right.
But we've had rehearsals parties with friends. Out there.
Yeah. That's cool. So, I mean, for some bands, it's like hard to keep together like four people. And you guys have not only seven people, but then you were living together. So how did you survive all of that?
Well, dude moved out.
No, I mean, like, I don't know. I like to think that we're like close enough friends that like we can kind of sort out what's what.
Right.
You know? I mean, like you always argue with you. I'm not saying there's never been arguments.
Right.
Like everyone always, certain things might get overlooked, you know, or someone's stepping on someone's toes, you know, like sometimes things just need to be said, you know?
Right.
It's no different than family life though. Just like growing up with brothers and sisters, you know? So, it's like pretty, it was pretty easy. I mean, there was nothing going on that was going to get in the way of playing at the end of the day. Yeah. So,
I mean, Matt and Mike are brothers. John and Durs are brothers.
That's right.
And we've all been friends since we were little kids.
Right.
Yeah.
We're all like a lot of the same friends too. Like
so you're already like a family basically.
Yeah.
We like to go out to shows together. That's how it all started. Like I said, it started as us like going out to shows and just having a good time.
We were just friends.
We were just screwing around at first and like we were saying like, oh, we can play covers. Oh, we play that jam from last time. Oh, we can play a gig. Oh, we got a simple, you know, it's things just kind of, you know, like we just
kind of started spiraling out of control as far as like all of a sudden it was just like a thing. It was whoa, this is cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And you've definitely, I mean, you've expanded beyond like the Asbury area. You've had tours, you know, running down to New Orleans, Charleston, up to Burlington, Vermont. So you're definitely, so I mean, is it your live reputations, like the words getting out about that?
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's safe to say.
I mean, we don't really have anything else besides that right now. It's actually what we're like trying to work on. It's gotten us pretty far, but we're at a point now where we're like,
you gotta put something
really
out.
Really put, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you do have an EP out. You got Just a Taste. I mean, that's on like iTunes, Apple Music, Spotify, everywhere. So definitely people check that out. So what's your time frame for recording some new stuff?
We have some already, actually. Yeah.
It's almost ready. It's very close.
Yeah. So as a matter of fact, it's about to get sent out to be mastered. Like
no way.
Probably tomorrow.
Oh, that's killer. So where'd you record?
We recorded with our buddy LJ, who is a sound engineer at the Starland Ballroom, which you talked with Jeff. He's a longtime friend of Anders. We kind of just met him. But as soon as we met him, we knew that it was going to work, I think.
Right.
It's a really funny relationship that we have with this dude. Because he's a very, like, he's a very funny dude. But it came out cool. Like, this is the most proud we've ever been of any studio work that we've done.
Really?
Yeah.
The first time we went in the studio, we were kind of
amateurs.
Yeah, we were very, very amateur. And, we were still working on some things, so like as getting better at our instruments, like, you know, like we were still working on some stuff, like
This was the first time that I personally went into
like a lot of musicians, I feel like that does happen
sometimes. When you get into the studio, you have to play to a click track, so like everything's like perfectly in time. Like we had never done that before.
We had to We jammed a lot of our songs. We knew what they were, but we had to actually like hash out what they were getting.
Yeah. Instrumentation.
Like, oh, we're doing this, like every, like, you know, so the song's this set. Like we had never really like constricted ourselves in that way because we'd been a live band at that point.
And like even that time when we did it last time, we like made it work. But this time we just did it like so much better.
Right.
Like, for the first time, like we did a good job. Oh, but like it's the first time I ever wrote a guitar solo, like anything like that, you know?
Right.
Yeah, like Matt was just like ripping his takes and just like, all right, that sounds good, let's use it. Like
right.
So we were like felt pretty pro about this one.
That's I think people
are gonna like it a lot.
I mean, I guess that's always a challenge for like a live bass band or like a jam band or an improv band is like how it translates in the studio, right?
Yeah. I mean, but like, so I don't know, like we never really focused on like studio stuff and it was tough for us because they don't really want to play anything on the radio that's like, you know, 15 minutes long.
Yeah.
And our, you know, like one of the songs that we recorded, like when we play it live, it generally runs between 15 and 20 minutes.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, like, we had to sit down and figure out, like, all right, out of this thing that we all think is totally awesome the way it is, what are we going to take out of this to be able to even make it, like, listenable right. to somebody?
Right.
You know, like, most people aren't going to click, like, throw in a CD and be like, all right, let me listen to this 15-minute opening right. song. So, but we made it work.
That's
it's,
cool.
It's cool. It's good. It's really good stuff. The dude did an amazing job on it.
That's sweet. When do you think that'll come out? So if it's mastered now, you got a, like a release date in mind?
Release dates are tough. I mean, we did three songs. We're going to release them more than likely one at a time
okay.
as singles, you know, hopefully to an album, you know, alluding to an album coming up soon.
Right.
We don't have like any kind of release dates for an album yet, but we have these three songs done. We have a ton of new material that we've been working on. So
that's cool.
Should have something coming out pretty soon. As far as like the first single, definitely be on the lookout. It should be coming out very soon.
Cool. Because you got
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Guys, you're headlining House of Independence November 8th. Is it going to be out in time for that, you think?
Yeah.
That's coming up quick.
Yeah, no, probably not by the 8th itself, but right. definitely right around there. I don't see why not. I mean,
cool.
It's well, in the final step, yeah. Grab some t-shirts Fire and stickers, shirts. Though, if you want to come buy some stuff.
Sweet. Sweet, sweet. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, you guys headline a lot of places. How's that feel to, like, have grown up to that, you know, that level?
Yeah, it's awesome to have finally taken it to the point where we can, like, sell out the Wonder Bar like almost consistently. It's,
right.
It's definitely an accomplishment, I feel like.
Yeah, it's badass. Any plans for tours? I know in December you'll be in New York at Rockwood Music Hall. Any other gigs like out further away coming up?
I think it's kind of like we said, we're kind of focusing right now on new material and our original music and trying to make sure that we have something new to offer to people
right.
before we start planning on again the touring is like self-funded for us so mm-hmm. any of the money that we're making throughout the year we have to be really careful about how we allocate that merchandise we need
right.
recording time costs money sending out tracks to get mastered and all that but aside from that like we'll definitely be going up like taking weekend trips to Vermont mm-hmm. and like South Carolina is easy enough for us to get down to. But until we have like really like more to offer, it's almost not like right. monetarily worth it to be like getting Airbnbs, hotel rooms, renting vehicles right. to drive and lug seven people and all of our gear.
Yep.
You know, and a lot of time we do end up getting places that they require you to set up your own sound and run your own sounds. Mm. Like if we're not careful and we are trying to hit places in between on the way back up, say like you go down to New Orleans and you want to stop and make your gas or your food or whatever on the way back and
right.
play wherever you're going to go. Like music venues are ideal, but I mean, there are a lot of bars down there that are, that people love music. So right. it's no different.
We don't make any money.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a loss type scenario. But
nah. Yeah. It's just this really tough. It's a tough thing of like when you first get out there. You know, we were talking about it recently. Like we reached this mark in our like little career here where like when we started out, we were in a bedroom and we were like, we want to like play some gigs. And we played some gigs and we were like, realized we had a little bit of steam going and we were like, you know, I think we could really do make some noise locally.
Right.
And we did. Right. And like, which was awesome. And it's been really fun. But now we're like back at the bottom of the totem pole, kind of, because we're trying to move up into this next, you know, upper echelon.
Right.
Which is still like, you know, not the upper echelon, but significantly.
The next level.
Yeah, the next level from where we're at now. And like, you're at the bottom again.
Right.
You know, we achieved what we wanted to, and now we're at the bottom. We got to take a step back and plan and like, you know, figure out how we're going to do this.
Totally. So who helps run the band like business wise? I mean, you talked about like budgeting and getting merch and tour and stuff like that. Who's running that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, it's a team effort, but I do a lot of it.
Yeah.
Overseeing, I guess, is the word.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, pretty much any show we've played, we've split equally, or we decide to just bank it, just save it for when we want to hit the road. Or, you know, we bought a lot of stuff over the course of how many years we've been doing this now, you know?
Right. PA equipment.
PA, like yeah, subs to microphones and stands. And
right.
I bought a fog machine one time.
That's cool. That we used in the bar. Like, we used that fog machine in PK Shamrocks and told people they were allowed to just come squeeze the button. And, like, by the end of it, we, like, the fire department probably should.
That's pretty sweet. That's cool. Yeah, I mean, you're at a little bit like, you know, you got a advantage, right? Like to have a band your size and obviously add horns and everything, that's a huge advantage for a live band and like a party vibe band. But like, it's so much easier to be one dude with an acoustic guitar and go out and hit the road. You know what I mean? Like that's cheap and an easy way to get around. So it's like, it's tough to balance both things, you know?
So we have some good friends in this band, Deltaphonic, and they're two guys. It's a drummer and a guitar player, right. And they've been playing around the country for years now.
Yep.
And because they can make, you know, like $300 or $400 in between two of you.
That's right.
Pretty good.
Right.
Totally. You know, we're for seven of us, that ain't really gonna work.
Right. Exactly.
You know, but we're definitely happy with where we are and everything we've done.
That's killer.
I mean, we, you know, we have our little arguments here or there, just like any normal person or friend or band.
Right.
We all agree pretty easily on doing things together.
I don't think anyone's ever doubted like what we wanted to do, or, you know, like we've always known what we like, this is what we got to do it. Let's do it. Right. Like, we're all pretty much on the same page, you know.
Yeah.
Like I said.
Yeah. Able to keep our eyes on the prize.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And who's the, like, how's the writing process work? That's another tough thing with that many people,
right? That's something else that's kind of transformed a little bit over the years. The writing process started out as basically me, Mago, TJ, Matt in a room just like bashing our heads together until we've made something that sounds like music. And which we still do that sometimes too. I mean, it's in the age of technology, you know, I have like a studio set up in my apartment and in my room, and like Johnny has one and Durs has one. And like, so now it's like kind of transformed into like, we have like solid ideas that are already like kind of somewhat like rough recording.
Right.
That we bring in and say like, all right, this is an idea. And then everybody takes the parts from it and tinkers with them and makes them their own. And then it comes together and becomes a song.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Nice. You guys feel like playing a little, see what we can do in the studio here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, cool. Absolutely.
What do you want to play as a starter? Are you going to play some new stuff?
I think do what you want.
Sweet.
Yeah. It's a newer song.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's earlier this year.
Yeah.
In the spring.
We got it together a little while ago. It's one of my favorite songs. But.
Cool. All right, we'll check out a little Do What You Want. Let's see how this crazy idea about recording in a podcast studio works out, right?
Hmm.
going on. So while we're waiting, we got Paul Musho in the house. He's the owner of Red Bank Cryotherapy. What's going on, Paul?
I think I'm going to go live on my Instagram here.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Put his wall.
Yep.
Got his stuff.
you're waiting for the iron call.
Oi.
We
should point it that way.
What's that?
We should move the camera that way.
Yeah, that's the right side. I think you will.
Not on the right side.
Not on the right side.
Oh.
Oh.
I'll try not to just blast your ears, Matt.
Oh, yeah.
I'll go give me a B flat.
Funky cable here, so we're just switching it out.
There we go.
I'm gonna do this right.
Johnny, ah!
I swear. This one's just not working.
Thank you.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Actually really cool. We've never done this before. That was really cool. Yeah, that was awesome.
How hard is that to hear each other and that kind of, that's the other thing you never think about. Like, you guys gotta hear what each other are playing and all that stuff.
That was easy. That was pretty easy. Yeah.
That's sweet. I mean, it sounded killer.
Hear each other. Not that we can't.
Yeah, like a normal live environment, everything just gets drowned out by the drums. So
we
dealt with some bad sounds.
Yeah, I don't know if we've we really started like from nothing. So like when I say nothing, like monitors and live sound and being able to hear each other was never even an option.
We used to run entire shows out of this.
The vocal mics, like everything out of this little tiny speaker.
We had two keyboard amps and we were running horns, vocals, guitars,
yeah,
and
yeah.
Out of a bass out of amp. Of two of
them. Yeah, yeah.
Like, we played a wedding, which we said we'd do for free, and we played a wedding basically like that. Like, I was singing out of a bass amp.
Were you really?
No PA system. Yeah.
No
PA
system.
So we're pretty used to it.
That's cool. Yeah, all right, so you shouldn't have been shocked when we asked you to play in a podcast studio.
No, you're probably right. We knew we'd make it work.
All right, yeah. That's cool. You want to just keep rolling with some more stuff?
Yeah, I'm trying to.
Yeah, please.
Maybe Big Black Dog.
Yeah, that would.
Yeah, Big Black Dog will be a good acoustic one. This is a song that we wrote about our dog.
Nice.
He was a yellow.
We'll do Shark Attack. Ready?
I think so.
Are you guys ready?
It's gonna be fun.
Well, I don't even know.
It's gonna be different.
Yeah, this will be interesting.
Down 95 to Casino Drive. You see the moon, it's out too soon. What can you do? Just move on through. You say what you say to me, you say what you wanna be. I'm looking for the right time, we're in disguise. You say what you say to me, you say what you wanna be. I'm looking for the right time, when we swim, we rise. Yes, we are so very hungry. Yes, we are so very hungry. And we on a mission. We're coming after you. Cause like Shark Attack, we gonna get ya. Bring you under soon. These sharks are swimming in the high tide. Oh, watch out. These sharks are feeding in the nighttime. You 22, what can you do? It's up to you in the life you choose. And I can't believe what you did to me. Now I can see very clearly. You say what you say to me, you say what you wanna be. I'm looking for the right time, we're in disguise. You say what you say to me, you say what you wanna be. I'm looking for the right time, that's when we rise. Yes we are so very hungry. These sharks are swimming in the high tide.
Sick, man. Paul's phone just overheated from that song, actually. That's totally cool. I saw you guys play that this summer on the boardwalk. You played the whatever the thing. Yeah. And I was like, damn, this song, this is my friggin' theme song, man. It was like, however it starts, it's like, I was 25 doing 85 down 95 or something like that. I was like, hell yeah, man. And then it's a total jam. And then what's the next part? 22, what can you do? Yeah. What's this song all about?
So long story short,
right.
We're actually all pretty much water rats. Like, we grew up on the beach, but I'm a big swimmer. I did competitive swimming at the Red Bank Y actually for a long time.
Right.
We have a fascination for ocean swimming, sharks, fish, all that stuff.
Right.
And then the song is essentially about us growing up in the house. Like, it's like when we first moved into the house.
Right.
I was 25. Casino Drive is the house, like the street of the house. And we honestly, like he was saying earlier, like it went from playing in a bedroom to playing, like last summer we were playing 4 or 5 times a week.
Right.
Like, I feel like it was like 3 or 4 years we were playing every week somewhere up until recently. So we were playing a lot, and it's kind of just like the aggressive attitude of a shark and the aggressive attitude of us trying to play all the freaking time. And
right.
Yeah, and
we're gonna attack.
Yeah.
So do you feel like that's your theme song as a band? Like, throw it on and strut around a little bit? Yeah, like, yeah, baby.
Yeah, it definitely fires me up listening to it.
I love that tune, man. It's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I feel like people can relate to it
right
a little bit.
That's cool.
Growing up on the Jersey Shore and stuff, you know.
Right. Very cool. All right, so tell me a little bit about what you're playing on percussion over there. What do you think? Yeah, is it actually an instrument, or is it? Did you just throw an LP sticker on it?
I just brought this box in, an LP sticker on it. It's an instrument now. No, it's a cajon. It's an acoustic instrument you can set. I meant to bring a bass drum attachment for it, but totally forgot about it.
No, it sounds good because you got.
I was gonna do like a whole like thing, but it's just it has like a deep you can get like I was doing like a bass, kind of like just keeping like the boop,
right,
the rhythm going, like doing like a like on the bass and then like a snare essentially. But yeah, it's just like it's a rhythmic instrument. Some people are really good at playing. I'm not like the most percussive, like I don't know, too, like I play a lot of percussive instruments. It's definitely like a very fine art, you
right
know? Gonna pretend like I'm a percussionist, but I made it. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, no, it's fun. You can just groove on it, you know, like you just get the groove going.
No, it sounded cool, and you get different sounds out of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I was trying to. Yeah, like I said, I don't usually do this, so I was kind of like making it up on the way. Like right. I got tripped up once or twice, but I, you know, figured it out.
That's cool.
But I usually play the kit. I mean, like they said, I've been the only drummer. I'm actually the only drummer who has ever played for Waiting on Manga. Everyone else here has missed a gig. I have never missed a gig.
Oh, really? Wow.
No, kidding.
No, but seriously. But seriously. And through all of, like, the switching of instruments and stuff like that, we never switched with Matt.
Yeah.
Probably.
No, good. You missed one gig when we did the Jets tailgate.
Oh, that's right.
But that was
a gig.
And the thing is, I had work.
Tailgate, not a gig. Yeah.
That's a story, too.
Yeah. That's a whole other story. We didn't get
yeah.
So what happened? We got all night, man.
This was when we were still in that, like...
Durs wasn't here yet.
Yeah, Durs wasn't in the band yet. It was just the four of us. Barely even, like, again, like, what we were doing was, like, playing, but, I mean, was it really, though? Like, we were, like, playing songs.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Like, yeah, we didn't have any microphones or anything, so, like, we're playing songs, we're not singing them. Like, there's nothing to sing out of. Like,
right.
We're just running through songs and stuff, and, like, this dude that was all, like, stoked on it, he was a local guy, and, like, was really stoked to see us.
He's still stoked on us.
Yeah, still, yeah.
Even though we didn't go play his tailgate.
He still loves us, but, he wanted us to come up and play his tailgate. He's a huge Jets fan, he wanted us to come play the tailgate at the Jets game.
It's awesome.
We probably, like, all inherently, like, didn't really even want to do it, but we were in this position where we're, like, young kids, and we're like, we don't want to say no to this guy.
Right.
Like, he's going to buy us tickets to the game. Right. He wanted us to go to the game with him, this whole thing. Like, Matt, at last, like, was just like, oh, shoot, I have work at, like, 3, and the game's, like, it's, like, a 1 o'clock game.
Right.
Like, it's the 1 o'clock game.
Right.
So... we had to leave Matt behind, so we're going with no drummer. Luckily, like, I knew that was the first instrument I ever learned how to play was the drums, so, like, I could kind of get us by. There were, like, a couple dudes at the tailgate. Who, like, yeah. You gotta play the drums, but, like, we're playing, like, My Morning Jacket and, like, mellow stuff, and this dude's like, I can play, like, Slipknot. And, like, Slayer.
Right.
And we're like... all right, let's do it too. Like, she jumps up with us. You know, we like made it work. I mean, again, like we, like I said,
that's
we
fine.
Kind of figure out how to make it work.
And then what's that scene like? Like, does it draw a lot of people and a lot up there?
No, I mean, there was.
I've been dying to do a Giants tailgate.
Dude, the Giants were good, though.
And they do like bands up at the stadium, though. If you go to a game, they have like a little stage like right by the front doors that
do
like live bands right before the game starts.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Maybe one
I've
day.
Seen it before. It's usually like you know, I like walked by a giant, like during a Giants game, and a guy was like covering chicken fried or something.
Like that. Yeah, like top 40. Something like. You could email a Giants. You know, Pat Hamlin at the Giants. Just email him and say you want to play.
Perfect. Let's. Yeah. His email address. I'll tag him in a comment on this video. Yeah. See if we can pressure him into getting.
Yeah, you know, it looks like you're looking for some entertainment. You know.
We'll try and get him to let us do like a halftime show at the Giants. Yeah. Just feel it as.
Hey, let us get on to like the Knicks like halftime MSG music.
Yeah,
like, they're in between on an ESPN and all that.
MSG, cool. Yeah, MSG.
Is a, they're all Giants fans, right?
Yeah.
So
I was a Jets fan. No.
Mike, what's it like for you playing acoustic as opposed to electric? You enjoy
Extremely difficult.
Is it?
Very difficult. It's making me look real bad.
You sound good.
No, I mean, this is actually the first guitar that I ever bought and purchased with my own money.
Really?
My parents bought me one. My first ever one, which is still at their house, is an acoustic guitar. I think it was when I was like 18 years old on Christmas, they got me this guitar.
Right.
And then like the next year I bought this one. So this guitar is probably gonna be 8 years old or something like that. So needless to say, and like it's got all types of scratches and dings in it. I'm a very like big offender of leaving my guitar in the car overnight, which is like,
you know, right.
People would bash me for that. Which rightfully so, but like this thing has been through it all. It is not in very good shape,
right?
But it works, and I love this guitar. Like for a $400, like pick the one right off the wall at Guitar Center, it went miles for me.
That's cool.
I mean, everything I learned on this guitar.
Nice.
So it feels horribly difficult right now, but it does kind of feel like home in a way.
That's cool.
It's one of my favorite guitars.
Nice. And so, Anders and Johnny, what's it like playing, you know, horns and what kind of music are you guys into?
Like everything. Yeah. I mean,
do you follow, like, are there more like sax players you're into that maybe aren't this type of music, or did you always picture yourself bringing horns to this style of music?
I guess I never really did picture myself bringing horns to this style of music ever. Like we had mentioned, my brother and I and our other brother, three of us have always had something going on playing in the band where...
Who actually lent us this cajon, by the way.
Yes,
Shout out to Harry.
Not mine.
Thanks, Harry.
We're a bunch of scammers here.
That's right. But we were doing more like progressive rock, kind of like psychedelic rock, almost on like a heavier side, like Muse or something, or like that kind of stuff. And I play a lot of guitar still, and I took guitar, piano, saxophone,
all the lessons,
some vocals. Like my whole family, even John and Harris, like the three of us, we've just been doing music our whole lives. So I can't ever really say that I ever really thought about it, but I went through the band program at school. I was drum major at my high school. I did jazz band, all shore, concert band, all shore, like done all the classical music. So like growing up learning the saxophone, I was playing like Charlie Parker, John Coltrane, that kind of stuff. A lot of like big band stuff like Duke Ellington. But like the stuff that really interested me to continue to play would have been like Clarence Clemons on saxophone, for instance, or like Tower Power, Earth, Wind & Fire, like all of that. Anything where like it was like you could tell there was a lot of feel there. Like it was exciting for me. That was what was exciting for me for horns.
Right.
So when I met these guys, it really was just I think I played saxophone on one song for that set, and it was Sultans of Swing. I just ripped the saxophone solo.
Really?
That's right. played along with the song and called these guys, and I figured, well, if I'm gonna play in a band, like they are kind of funky, like I could get in there, we could do some like P-Funk or George Clinton style kind of stuff. Like they want to be a party band or whatever. I had no real preconceived notions of joining them, but at the time I was like not really looking to be in a jam band.
Right.
But jam bands. You know, it was
labeled.
It was.
We introduced him to fish and made him listen to the Grateful Dead. Nice.
Johnny's been to a couple fish shows.
Yeah. I didn't like fish at first, and then a couple years of playing with them.
Really?
Fish have never been my thing, but I do like going to see them now.
And it still kind of surprised me to this day, though, like, how when you came in, like, it was just it was perfect right away. Like, you bring people into a situation where it's like, all right, like, you know, you kind of have like a couple like interests in, you know, in common and stuff like that, and like, but Durs, he came in and like was just like part of the group right away,
right?
Like right away. To this point, like, you know, if you're talking like founding members of the band and stuff like that, and the real like inception of the band,
oh, 100%.
I would say like we didn't really become Waiting on Mago until like Durs was in there,
right?
With us, for
that's
sure.
Cool.
And then like Johnny came in, and obviously he's his brother, so like that was.
I had an in.
That's right. Yeah.
Johnny came in to help us record for that first, for Just a Taste, and that's when Johnny joined. Same
that's
thing
cool.
With Bruce as well.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it adds a sweet flavor. Definitely, it's cool.
I mean, say it all the time. We were kind of like, and we all know what we're doing on our instruments, but we were kind of Joe Schmoes, and then we brought in the horns, and it was like, that energy is just unreal.
Right.
The brass, the whole thing is just so big. Like, that's what TJ always had this vision for us, you know. It's this huge band, like a million people, like horns galore and singers. We're still getting there. Who knows?
Need a bus, right? To
that's
go around,
cool.
Right?
Yeah. That's the first time we toured was in a 31-foot RV.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Everybody in there.
That's cool.
But we have nine people in a stinky RV. Parked on the Lower East Side of the Bayou. Or what is the Lower?
Parked in the Lower Nine. On our buddy's front yard, like literally right on the Mississippi River.
Nice.
So it was
spiritual.
I think we drove nonstop in like 18 hours.
To New Orleans. Yeah.
To New Orleans.
Dude, we went out when we got in there. Like, we got in at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Kieran was playing. Or Delta Bonnet Crew.
Yeah, our buddies Delta Bonnet were playing.
Like, we were so stoked.
No,
we were like, can't sleep.
That's cool.
Standing up, passing out.
That's cool. All right, what do you guys feel like doing? You want to pack your gear up, or you want to play us out?
We can play it out.
Yeah, we can do it. Right.
Sweet.
Should we do the new instrumental or Had Enough? Had Enough might be kind of tough.
That could be tough.
Yeah. Why don't we do the new instrumental one? Ready?
What's it called?
I don't know.
Yeah. You don't know. New instrumental.
Yeah.
Sweet. Thank you. Is that something you're going to put out as a single? Is that one of the things you recorded? Or is just a new instrumental you're working on in general?
That'll probably hit later on.
Yeah, that's cool. Awesome. Yeah. All right, sweet. I totally appreciate you guys coming in. That was killer.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks for making the effort for playing and everything. That was really cool. I mean, it's really funny, like, looking around the studio, like, the absurdity of, like, the band here is hilarious. But it sounds really killer. So definitely encourage everyone to go check out mongo.band and on Instagram at Waiting on Mongo. The band will be at House of Independence headlining November 8th. Still tickets available. Buy tickets online. Also, December 13th, Rockwood Music Hall, Stage 2. Check them out. And some new music coming soon. I'm looking forward to that.
Awesome. Thank you. All right.
Thanks very much, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.